So I'm like a squirrel in a zoo. We came upon this sort of description when we were talking about what it's like to be a Christian in the workplace and in China. I remember I went and visited Taiwan when I was just a kid, and I remember my family wanted to take me to the zoo, and I thought, this is great, we're going to be able to see all these animals, pandas, I mean, it's Asia. And imagine my surprise when we walked around the corner, and there's this little pen, and there is a squirrel, one squirrel, sitting inside. He looked really exotic, and I just thought, well, that's different. But really, in some places, squirrels are exotic, and they're not often seen. So I thought about that squirrel many years later when I was working in a variety of places. So what I thought I'd like to do today is just share a little bit about some of my experiences, having now spent 10 years working in the States and 10 years working abroad. I was born in the States, but I've got some Chinese parents, and so I feel like I'm a little bit between those two worlds. And as Christians, our family has engaged in the community in everything from government-sponsored churches, which are called three-star churches, which is a special thing I can tell you about another time, home churches, the underground church, and expat churches, which is where only expats are allowed in, and you have to show your foreign passport in order to be admitted. And even there, I remember seeing locals trying to sneak in and listen to the Word of God and be escorted out by government officials holding video cameras, recording their faces. So China's an interesting place because on one hand, it has all this great stuff, like bubble tea, if you've never tried it, it's awesome. It's like 600 calories of awesomeness. Digital landscape is amazing, Baidu, Alibaba. And then on the other hand, we don't have freedom of speech, freedom of religion, you know, a lot of basic human rights. So it's a fascinating place to live, work, and to serve. The first time I went to China was in Guangzhou with Procter & Gamble. I was the Pantene brand manager in the early 2000s. And working there was a trip. It was, you know, people often talk about China as the Wild West. It was very much that back in the 2000s. And I barely spoke Chinese, which made it really tough. So I was really, really kind of focused on the business and trying to learn and do a good job. And one day I remember walking in the hallways and this young girl stopped me and she's like, aren't you a Christian? And I said, yeah, I am. And she said, well, why haven't you started a Bible study yet? And I was like, well, she goes, well, I'm a Christian and nobody else here is. And you know, this is the building where the communists meet on the weekend and we get questioned on what we believe and why we believe it and who told us and what's their name. Why aren't you leading a Bible study? I was like, yeah, I guess I should do that. So God talks to you in a way that you need. For me, it's very direct. So I started a Bible study. And you know, people don't all know the name of Jesus. They literally have never heard the name. And they're hungry to learn about God. So it grew really quickly and became quite visible. And then I was pulled aside and strongly encouraged to stop, because this is illegal. So then you face this sort of age-old question of, is this God trying to protect me, or is this the enemy trying to thwart me? And you pray, and you go to the only source of truth, which is the Bible, and there's this, you know, little thing that's mentioned a couple times called the Great Commission. You think, well, I'm here for work, I'm here with P&G, but I serve a higher purpose. And the workplace is my mission field, so I'm going to keep going, and God will take care of all the rest. And I'll tell you, those couple kids turned into more kids, their brothers, their boyfriends, their parents, all came to know Jesus, and it was unbelievable. It's truly unbelievable. You feel like a fisherman who threw that in their nets, and you're like, okay, let's go. You think, how could this have happened? And I think that's what I really want to make clear is I didn't really do anything. I obeyed, and that's all you have to do. But what I'll say also is sometimes you have to obey without knowing what the end looks like. So a couple years later, I was the head of retail marketing for Apple in Asia Pacific. And again, through an amazing story I'd love to tell you another time, I end up being hit in the head and starting another Bible study with one other woman. And we just kind of start meeting, and a couple more people join us. It becomes an awesome group, small, but incredibly faithful. And then 4 years after I left that job, count them, 1,500 some days later, somebody texts me from Apple, and she's like, remember me? Can I buy you a drink? And normally, if you offer to buy me a drink, especially if it's a single malt, I'll say yes. So I went and met her, and she said, she just jumped right into it. She said, I know we weren't that close, but I just want to tell you, I know what you Christians were doing. You guys are praying for us, and I didn't really want any part of it, but I'm glad that you didn't push it on us, but you were still really very open. And the reason I reached out to you is I'm getting married, and I thought a lot about what I want my marriage to be like, and the one couple that always comes to mind is you and your husband. I want what you guys have, and I know what you have. It's God, so I want some of that. Well, I mean, she said it in like Chinese, so it was a little bit translated. But that's the idea. And that was amazing and humbling, and you just get to be a part of something. And now she's this faithful Christian who's happily married. 4 years later, she reached out to me. And many times, we may never know what comes of the seeds that we plant, but we obey anyway, because God's got a perfect plan. And he says in Isaiah, "My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. But just come with me." And what an incredible privilege. The last thing I'll say is not only do we obey when we don't know the end state, but we obey when it's not comfortable. It's not just when we get to sit in a great place with an awesome cup of coffee. Starbucks is better. It's when you... just a little better. Or a lot. Especially if it's a pour-over at a Reserve store. You should try one of those. We hosted a number of underground church leaders in our home over the years. And I have so many stories to tell you guys about that. But one guy I remember listening to his testimony, and I'm like trying to translate for my poor husband who's Korean-American, and I've just got like tears rolling down my face and it's smearing the pencil on the paper. It's very real what these guys go through. Now, he wasn't even an underground church leader at the time. His dad was a pastor. So to get at his father, they were regularly torturing his son. And he was a pianist, and all he ever wanted to do was play piano. And I just remember of all the stories he told us about how they wove chopsticks between his fingers, stuck them on the table, and then just beat his fingers until all the bones were broken. That's one of many, many stories this guy endured. And he escaped to the West. When we hosted him in our house, y'all, he snuck back to the country that did that to him. He snuck back into China to encourage the other underground leaders. And I just remember looking around our apartment that day. We've got like 50 underground leaders, each of them responsible for churches that lead 20, 50,000 people. So I just have a lot of respect for people like that, because I don't know what I would do if I were being tortured for months for what I believe. What would you do? You know, sometimes my daughter asks me now, "Mom, is everything that we're doing legal?" I'm like, "Well, define legal, honey." I mean, the answer is no. You know, we host a home church, and that's not legal. We witness, and we talk about God, and that's not legal. And we figure that we have to obey, and it may not always be comfortable. It may get more uncomfortable. We don't know, right? But what we know is God is faithful, and our job is to be sensitive to the Spirit and know what he's doing around us, and it's our honor to participate in that. So as I'm sharing some of these stories with you guys today, my question is, do you see where God's at work around you? You don't have to be in China. You don't even have to be in a workplace. Wherever you are, do you sense where he's at work, and are you actively engaging with him? If you're not, I'd like to leave you with this last quote. It's one of my favorites. Where are you most useful, and where are you serving your purpose? It's where the world's deep hunger and your deep gladness meet. And for me, that's why I know my workplace is the harvest field for me. It's my mission field. And everyone's got their own, wherever they are, wherever God put them, and with whatever skill set he's sort of gifted you with. And a lot of people ask me, you know, how long are you going to be in China? Are you guys coming back to the States? We're total Christian gypsies. We own nothing. We are not locked into anything because we serve God. And wherever he's going to call us is where we're going to go next. And maybe we'll just stay right where we are. Maybe we come back to Crossroads where we've been part of the family for a long time. But that's the thing about being in this world. You know, when we serve a higher purpose, and God is bigger than countries. God is bigger than work. And we're all one part of that family together. So if you participate, you get to get these front row seats to, like, the greatest stories told on earth. And I just want to say thanks today for listening to some of mine.
Wow, you all came on the right day. Hey, my name is Lori Stansbury, and I just want to be your guide for the next few minutes. I want to tell you some of the things that are going on around here so that you get to be a part of it. The first thing I want you to do is pull your phone out. Now, I want to tell you, last week we talked about the Connect map, and if you didn't get a chance to do it, I want you to do it right now. All you have to do is text 313131, type in the word map, hit send, and we will send you a message. When you click on that, you'll be entered onto the Connect map. Why do you want to be on the Connect map? Well, it's a place for us to see all the people that are a part of Crossroads, not just in the city, not just in my neighborhood, but around this country. And so I just encourage you to do that. If you don't have a phone, you don't know how to do it, please go out to our info center. Our welcome team will be glad to help you get on it as well. So I've used this Connect map a little bit in my own neighborhood. It doesn't show exactly where you live on your street, but it shows people that live around me. And I have about a dozen women that meet in a small group in my house every other week, and some of those people I found just by being on this map. So if you want new friends, if you want to know who else lives in your neighborhood, it's a great way for you to connect with other people. So I'd encourage you to do that. Well, we are in the Spark series, and as we've mentioned before, it's like TED Talk meets Crossroads and Had a Baby, and these are amazing talks for us to be able to listen to, not just here this weekend, but again, or to share with our friends. So I can tell you that after last week, I have a couple of family members and friends who deal with depression, and it was perfect for me to be able to look up the Spark Talk on crossroads.net/spark. Send a little message to that person and send it right to them. And it was very helpful for them to be able to have. So I encourage you to do that with any of our messages. You can even go back to old Spark Talks from that as well. Well, this summer, I'm sure some of you are going on long car rides, taking a vacation with your family, and we don't want you to miss the opportunity to get to be a part of Crossroads. So you can take Crossroads with you. All you need to do is go to our YouTube channel, or you can go to crossroads.net/live, and you can be a part of Crossroads even when you're somewhere else. The other piece that I want to make sure you know about is Kids Club also has a YouTube channel, and all you need to do is go to YouTube Kids Club. There are music videos, there are some of our lessons from Kids Club, and your kids will be entertained for hours while you get to just sit back in the front seat with your spouse and enjoy the ride. Well, here at Oakley, every year, we like to spruce this place up a little bit, do some deeper cleaning, and so for the next 2 weeks after our service on Sunday, aside from when we have services, we will be closing our building. So the open hours that we normally have are just going to end for 2 weeks, 16th through the 29th. So on the 30th, come back. See if you notice what we've done. We're excited to have you back then. Well, today we are going to take up an offering, and I just want to tell you that if you're a part of the team here, if you give like I do, you get to give to things like this amazing worship that we get to be a part of, the coffee that I think might be as good as Starbucks, all the things like that that are around here. So we are going to have a bag pass, and you can put cash or check in the bag, or you can go to crossroads.net/give like I do. And we are also going to hear from one more speaker today, and we are talking about the radical middle. And whether you are extreme on the right or extreme on the left, I think we can all agree that we would love to rule the world. Have a great day.
Everyone wants to rule the world. I'll tell you, our Spotify playlists are going to change drastically because there's two more whole minutes of that song that we want to have back. I'm excited to talk to us today. And, let me just say this right up front. I like to be liked. Anybody else here like to be liked? I like when people like me. And today I'm going to talk about politics. Yeah, that's right. I'm going to talk about politics, and what that means is half of us are not going to like me. And it get even more complicated than that. Half of us are going to love me for 10 minutes, and then 10 minutes later, you're going to hate me for 10 minutes. And those of you who are going to hate me for 10 minutes are going to love me in 10 minutes. And I am no glutton for punishment. If you've been on a crossroads for 20-some years, you know that politics and me never speak. All the petitions I get, all the stuff, I just don't. I'm going to talk about it today because I want to help you. I want to help you. Not help you think the way I might think, but help you to navigate an incredibly divisive culture in which everyone seems to try to get us riled up, in which we have to seem to weigh in or have the right beliefs or thoughts about something or else somebody else isn't going to like us, to keep our mind straight while all the stuff is going out on social media. And today I'm going to talk about what it looks like to be in the radical middle. Someone clued me in and said, I'm wearing a red shirt today. I am like, I don't even know what party is red and what party is blue. What's red? Republican, okay. Don't read it because I don't even know that. Seriously, that's how apolitical I am. And I want you to have a level of joy in your life that a political party is not going to give you. And so let me pray for us before we go any further. God, thank you for having a place that can be a medium common ground, a place like Crossroads that gathers all over the place. And I want us to be able to have our hearts and our minds coming together and to be pushed and to be pulled and to be comforted and to be challenged. God, help us to be a little different than we were coming in here and a heck of a lot different than the political landscape in our country right now. And I pray these things according to the character and identity of Jesus. Amen. It is true, we are more divided, more antagonistic, more angry than we have ever been in our culture, maybe save for the Civil War. If you take a look at different ways that we identify who we are, you'll find that we're not that much different. If you take a look at the different religious affiliations we have in our country, Catholic, Protestant, Buddhist, Jewish, whatever it is, the difference is on base what you believe religiously and how many things you hold differently from other people is about 14% or 10%, somewhere in there. Actually, 10 to 14% for all of these. Age, if you're 20 years old or if you're 66 years old. And if you compared, okay, how much do we have in common? You'd be off about 10, 13, something like that percent. Education, if you've got a lot of education, a lot of degrees, or you are a high school dropout in the same area, you're not going to disagree on all that much. If you are male or female, you're not going to disagree on all that much. If you're white, black, Latino, whatever you are, you're not going to disagree with all that much on race. But as soon as we say, okay, who is a Republican or right independent leaning versus a Democrat or left independent leaning, it's 36%. It's an immediate, it's a divisiveness that is pretty overwhelming. Really, we're not all that different. When we start talking about things, we start ranting about things, we get really different and it gets really ugly, really bad. There's a story in the Bible, I think it relates to us and our country and our political climate. It comes from the Old Testament. It comes about the nation of Israel, and the leader in the nation of Israel at this point is named Joshua. Joshua is taking them to a new place, taking them to a promised land, and on the eve of one of these critical battles where God has told them to go and do this stuff, he gets an invitation, he gets a meeting from a spiritual entity. An angel shows up. And an angel is God's Navy SEALs. Angels are not fat little white babies with rosy cheeks to try to make people fall in love with suction cup darts. They're not. They're spiritual warriors who are Navy SEALs. And this entity shows up with a sword, armed to the hilt, and all Joshua can think of, oh my goodness, I hope this can be my champion. I hope this guy is fighting for us. Here's actually what it says. He says, are you for us or are you for our adversaries? And he, the angel, said, well, no, I am the commander of the army of the Lord. Now I have come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped him and said, what does my Lord say to his servant? And the commander of the army said to Joshua, take off your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy. And Joshua did so. Now, you know, might have missed one of the most important parts here. Joshua asked this angel, are you for us or are you for our adversaries? He actually asked the political question everyone asks today. Are you with me or are you with the enemy? Are you the way I vote or are you with the people who are stupid? Who are you with, me or with the enemies? Now, when Joshua says this, it is God who's told him to go into this battle for the promised land. It's God. And so you would think that the angel would say, oh, of course I'm for you in the battle that God is. Of course. No, but the angel's like, no. I don't like your tone. I don't like what you're saying. I'm not on your side. I'm on God's side. That's whose side I'm on. And we need to hear that, all of us. You're on the right, you're on the left. God is not on your side. God is not on your side. God is on the side of God. And sometimes the things that we think may be the things that God thinks. And sometimes the things that we think may not be the things that God thinks. And sometimes the things that we do may be the things that God would do. And sometimes the things that we do may not be the things that God would do. And what Joshua does when he gets reoriented, of, oh no, I've divided us, them, what he does is he falls on his face in repentance. And he says, take off your ground. Take off your shoes. This is holy ground. Because today is a different day. I would love today be the day people at Crossroads fall on their face and repent to God for the level of divisiveness that they've had in their hearts towards people who are not them, who have beliefs who are not them. And I'll tell you, I get the emails all the time, and they're from all different parts of the political spectrum. But it would be a great day if more of us would get out of this, us, they, and we'd fall on our face and say, no, I'm going to be different. Because I'm going to worship the one true God versus the Democratic Party and versus the Republican Party or versus anything they say that I should think or feel or versus anything that all of my Facebook subscribers are saying I should say, think, and feel. I'm doing something today that Jesus never did. Jesus never talked about politics. I get a good level of criticism for not talking about politics, or not talking about the pressing issues of our day. I get so many of that, please. The pressing issues of our day. I get so much of that. Do you know that Jesus never talked about the pressing issues of his day? Do you know that Jesus never talked politics? Never. Never. Not even close. Jesus never talked about the policies of the Roman Empire, never did. And he certainly never talked about the policy of the United States of America. He talked about a preferred reality called the kingdom of God. He only mentioned Caesar like one time, and it's to make a point. I'm going to mention it later on. If he was here, he would never mention Donald Trump. If his past behavior was any indication of the future, he would never mention Donald Trump. And he would never have mentioned Barack Obama either, because he never mentioned Caesar, ever. Never brought it into a teaching point. And he lived in a culture that was way out of whack. We're talking about Rome, where there was a class system, there was the haves, and there was the have-nots, and you could never mix, and we know that Jesus didn't like that. We're talking about a culture that would devalue women and push women down, and they couldn't even vote or anything. We know that's not where Jesus was, and Jesus never spoke to that. We're talking about a culture where there was utter violence and utter chaos, where there was sexual mores out the yin yang. It was a free for all sexually. Do whatever you want, whatever. And he never goes in to try to make some political statement in terms of what the culture should be doing. And that's why I don't. That's why I don't try to mobilize what Crossroads should be doing to make a stand on something, because I don't want to do something that Jesus hasn't done. I don't want to go off on a different playbook, because you know what? I think his way actually worked. He changed the world. He actually changed the country. Rome actually converted. Something crazy and totally beautiful happened with him. In the midst of our culture, we are incredibly polarized. We are incredibly divisive. And I want to invite more of us to come to a place that's been called, and a place that I adhere to. It's called the radical middle. It's called the radical middle. In the radical middle, there's a variety of things that happen for you. First is this. You have a rootedness. In the radical middle, you have a rootedness that informs you. A rootedness that informs you. Radical in our culture means extremism. It means way out there. But that's not the etymology of the word radical. It comes from the Latin word radix, which means rootedness. When you're in the radical middle, there's a rootedness about your life. There's a rootedness that informs your mind, that when all there's all kind of hyperbole going on and all kind of anger and people rattling their sabers and everyone's getting all worked up, there's a rudeness that goes, okay, you can be rooted, and it can inform you how you should behave, how you should respond, how you should think. I believe people come to a church experience not for another political talk, whatever the hot issue of the day might be, because we all get that all different kinds of places. I believe we come to a church experience to have a transcendent experience, not a political discussion. I also believe that many of the issues that God may feel very strongly about and you should be informed on are actually very complex, and in the radical middle, I'm able to go, I'm not sure exactly what I feel about that one. I'll give you an example, immigration. Not sure what I feel about that one. Some people would say, well, Jesus was an immigrant. He was a refugee. How do you not know that? They had to flee to Egypt. Yes, he did flee to Egypt, and he didn't illegally cross any borders. Yes, he did. He didn't illegally cross any borders. The Bible tells me that we should honor the laws of the land. And that means when a country says you can only come in by this process, that means you do that process. And on the other side, the Bible says over and over again that we should honor the alien in our midst, who for whatever reason, they're here and they're different than us. We should honor them, because the closer you get to God, the more you feel like an alien. Because the more you become rooted in his character, the more strange and alien-like you will be to other Americans, because you will march to a beat of a different number. So the Bible tells us we should have a special heart for people of a different ethnic origin. However they got there, they're here. And we should honor the alien in this. So how do I deal with honoring the alien in my midst and honoring the rule? I don't know. There's no simple fire you up sermon to give on that. And I'm okay with that in the radical middle. I also want people to love Jesus versus vote right, whatever vote right is. I don't have any desire to be a part of another political movement. I have a desire to get us all to have our hearts full of God and get us to God. And the more you lead with something that is political, the less the ultimate mission of what God wants, more people in his family, can actually happen. We're one of the very few churches in America where you're really not sure, is this a Republican church or a Democrat church? Really not sure. And if you want to know what I'm talking about, come during election time and just count up the bumper stickers and try to tabulate the Democrat versus the Republican bumper stickers. And if you've got a candidate that you love, great, put the bumper sticker on. That's fine. Try to count it up. We're one of the very few places where if you've come for a Democrat church, you may as well leave. If you've come for a Republican church, you may as well leave. If you've come for God, you're in the right place. If you've come for a transcendent experience, we're going to try to give you the right place. If you've come to have your boundaries pushed on who God is and to feel him in unique ways and have something in yourself, Ellie, you're in the right place. You've come to a place where, wait, aren't these people thinking like me? No, you're in the wrong place. And we love that place. There's no other churches I know anywhere near our size, or even smaller, that have the kind of diverse political makeup we have here. Maybe it's because some of us are in the radical middle. Something informs us that we can get along with people who think differently about certain things than we do. Our current president and our previous president were both outside the will of God in various points of their lives, various points of their policies and or various points of their lives, our current one and previous one. And if you can't see that, and I know half of you are really bothered by that, I'm talking about President Trump and Barack Obama. Yes, both of them. And if you can't see that, then you're not rooted in the same source of truth that those of us in the radical middle are rooted in. You're not rooted into the character and identity of God versus a love affair with a certain ideology. And those of us in the radical middle, we don't have any love affair with the political ideology. We have a love affair with Jesus. And we're happy to be unusual and happy to not have a home politically. The current American culture values things that my king doesn't value. Our current American culture is all about rights. Rights. The right and the left is all about rights. The rights of this. Jesus never talked about rights unless it was giving up your rights. Jesus was up into repentance. So our current political climate is up for your rights. You fight for your rights. Jesus says, no, you lay down your rights and you repent. You repent for the things that are wrong in your life and you actually bring your cross and you sacrifice yourself daily. You give up your rights. Our current culture is all for supporters. We need to get more supporters. And Jesus says, no, I want more sacrificers. Who's going to be sacrificing? Our current culture is all about happiness. We need to pass this so I'm more happy. If you're not doing this, I'm unhappy. And Jesus never talks about happiness. He talks about holiness. He wants us to be on a different playing field. He wants us to have a different attitude. He wants us to have a different caliber of life. This is what holiness is. You're separate. You're distinct. You're of a different category. Jesus wants us to be those kind of people, not the people whose emotions are up or down based on what's happening politically in our country and in their lives. And in the radical middle, this is where we are. We're also in the radical middle. Those of us who are there, maybe you never knew. Maybe as I started talking, you were like, oh, I am the radical middle too. Oh, you are if you can't be categorized. In the radical middle, you can't categorize us at all. The right would hate me because I'm in support of more gun laws. And I own guns, a lot of them. But yet the right would hate me because I'm saying, yeah, we ought to be looking and go. The left would hate me because I would say an unborn female fetus is as valuable as a 40-year-old woman is. And the left can't take me that way. The right would love me because I want businesses to get bigger and I want people to get more money. I want to see a lot of money and I want to see businesses like cranking out the dough. So the right would love me for that. And the left would love me because I am very disheartened by the growing disparity in economics in our country, and I want more going for the poor. More, I always want more. And so the left would love me on that. And I could just go all over the place. And if we kind of sat down and said, "Where are you? How do you categorize me? I don't know. You can't categorize someone in the radical middle, which is what's so disheartening about the whole national discussion we have. As soon as someone's categorized, and you're categorized by one thing, who you voted for, like, forget it. I know all about you, and I hate you. No, you probably should love that person. Right? Oh, I know about you. You and I are just like me. No, they might be nothing like you at all, except they made the wrong decision to vote for somebody. I don't know. But we categorize people so simply and in such a small-minded way. But we're used to that in the radical middle. In fact, in the radical middle, we like not being categorized, and we try to make it so that people don't even know how we vote and what we believe. We actually like the nebulousness, and we actually see that the Bible tells us to be this way. The author of much of the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, puts it this way. To the Jews, I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I've become all things to all people, that by all means, I might save some. So here we see, it's a really great strategy. If you want to bless people, you want to love people, you want to have people get to know your God, if you know the one true living God, it's a really good strategy to not be categorized, because people will just disqualify what you say. Paul's saying, hey, when someone seems to be weak, I'm going to accentuate my weakness. When someone seems to be strong, I'm going to accentuate my strongness. When someone is Jewish, I'm going to accentuate, hey, I've been circumcised. Not that you're going to necessarily go show that around to people, but you know, you're going to, when I'm around somebody who's like, they're not under the law, they're not under the Jewish thing, I'm not going to eat all kosher around them. And as soon as you start putting stuff in your social media feed that makes it really clear where you are, let's be really clear, your potency in life is cut in half. The amount that God will use you is cut in half, because you just cut off half of the people that you could bless, you could influence. It's just eliminated because you had to take a stand. Now, you took a stand, all right, and you lessened the impact of your life. And the Bible tells me to have the most impactful life possible. So Jesus told me to do this. This is how he ordered his life, and this is what this instruction says. 3, when I'm in the radical middle, I can hear an opposing view. You know, when we're so solidly in this one thing, we can't, other people are so far away, we just can't hear them. I don't know if we can't hear them way over there because everyone's crowding our ears, everyone who thinks like us here, but we can't hear. And these people, same way, they can't hear people. But when you're in the radical middle, you can actually hear people, because your identity isn't tied up in that issue. Your identity isn't even tied up in being right. You might be wrong. That's okay. You might be wrong. That's okay. There's very few things that I feel really passionate about politically. One of them, is something that relates to the fact that I'm still alive. I'm adopted. Those of us who are adopted had a higher chance of being aborted than anybody else, because our mothers considered that. And so when it sinks into your mind as an adopted kid, you're like, ooh, man, I'm glad my mom didn't really have that option. She didn't take that option. That was, ooh. So you feel pretty strongly about that issue. You see, there's 600,000 abortions in our country every single year, and it does something to you. And I've never used my platform, the platform of Crossroads, ever to mobilize for that issue, ever. Whatever there might be, any other issue you might be feel really strong about, I promise you, it's not as important as if I felt there was 600,000 murders a year. We operate with constraint there. Why will I refuse to mobilize Crossroads for that agenda? Why has there never, ever, ever, ever been any registration drive at Crossroads, ever a voting guide? Why would that be? Because I'm in the radical middle. Even if I feel strongly about something, I need to be interacting with other real people. And on top of that, a lot of us may have had an abortion. You see, no, God loves you. He loves you not to lead with some issue. He loves you, and forgiveness is there. And you know what? You might not even feel like you need forgiven. And that's okay, because you know what? Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I get to heaven, and God says, no, you're wrong on that one. I don't think he will, but maybe he will. And guess what? I'm okay to be wrong on issues. I am, so long as I know God. As long as I know he's pleased with me. I operate in political restraint because I want to hear other people. I want to not put off other people. I want to be about the main thing that Jesus was about. It was getting people to God, not getting people to vote right, which he had zero interest in. And the closer you get to God, the more this stuff will make sense to you. the more you'll get more excited about the things of God than excited about political processes. I love that there's people that I can hear that hold different opinions than me and are different than me. Amy Chua says this: the left belings the right wing, that right wing tribalism, bigotry, racism is tearing the country apart. The right believes that left wing tribalism, identity, politics, political correctness is tearing the country apart. They're both right. They're both right. Why can we not understand that the political parties are private corporations? Do we not understand? What part of private, the Democrats, Republicans are private corporations. What's a private corporation about? Itself, not you. It's about itself. They have to stake out territory that's opposed to the other one's territory so they can get followers. If there's ever any doubt of that, just look what the Democratic Party did to Bernie Sanders. And why was the court case turned down? That, oh no, he was conspired against, but why was it turned down? It was not a legal thing at all? Because the court said, well, Democratic Party can do whatever they want because they're a private corporation. You and I don't matter. Only as so much as their agenda is pushed. If you're so excited about your political party, which right or left, you have to, at some point we have to start understanding, I'm a tool. I'm a tool in the hands of a private corporation that is trying to work me up, and in the process, I'm losing my joy. I'm losing levity. I'm losing love for the common man or even someone who's uncommon. I'm losing the ability to hear and dialogue. Friends, we're being stolen from. One time I can remember Jesus mentioned Caesar. Here's what he says. He says it in the midst of a financial discussion. People are saying, well, should we give our taxes to Rome? They're doing everything they can to get Jesus to, like, say, no, don't Rome. He just won't do it. He's like, I'm playing a different level. I'm playing in the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of Rome. So finally he has to answer this tax discussion. Well, give me a coin. Let me see. Whose inscription is on the coin? They go, oh, it's Caesar there. Yeah, you got Caesar's image. Well, if it's Caesar's image and that's Caesar's coin, who cares? Give them whatever they say. And what does he say then? What does he infer then? Whose image is on you is what he's trying to say. If a coin has Caesar's image on it, give it away. Who cares? Give it back to Caesar. Whatever portion they want, who cares? But you, whose image on you? God himself. Whether you are on the left or whether you are on the right or whether you are in the radical middle, you are created in the image of God. God's image is on you. And Jesus wants us to give him our whole lives. Give it to him. It affects everything. Just in the context of his finances. You know, 60% of people, 60% of everybody who comes to Crossroads gives zero over the course of a year. 60% of everybody, let me say 60% of everybody who comes to Crossroads gives zero. $0. We have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, 700 people who are five figures behind and probably not going to fall through on an I'm in commitment. What grieves me about those things isn't like, okay, it makes it harder to do ministry. It grieves me about, like, okay, what's going on in the hearts of our church? Who has our heart? Who has our heart? Is it the kingdom of thingdom? Or is it the kingdom of God? Because whether you recognize it or not, God's image is on you. He's marked you. You're his, and it is so freeing to be his and operate as his. Fourth reason I'm in the radical middle is I want to bring people together in the middle. People don't come together over here. Come on over here with us. People don't come together over here. Come on over here with us. Where do they meet? In the middle. In the middle. I love bringing people together. I love when people interact with one another. I love when different people actually have relationships with one another. Not necessarily relationships with one another. Jesus said in the book of Matthew, he said, blessed are the peacemakers. They shall inherit the kingdom of God. Blessed are the peacemakers. Not blessed are the people who make a stand for truth. Not blessed are the people who know the right way and they vote for it. No, blessed are the peacemakers. How do you make peace unless you're in the middle somewhere trying to make peace? This is what's challenging about our country right now. We used to have all kinds of middle ground organizations they're just gone. Whether it was the Elks or fraternal orders of this or that, or there was these like different places where people would go and like socialize. Or churches, you know, over half the country would go to a church. The church can be a sort of fraternal organization where you meet different people. Church sense has gone down. Like, we don't do it anymore. What do? We go to work, we get worn out, and we go to our screen at home. That's what we do. And what gets our attention, our screen at home? Whatever we've self-selected into, which is the way we view the world and the way that we view other people. So we have no other, like, middle meeting grounds. We can actually talk with people and know people. Those things are all wiped out. They're all gone. A place like CrossFit is one of the few places left. So I'll fight to my dying breath to keep us in the radical middle. It's because it serves a purpose in our country. Not only that, it's the way that Jesus lived his life and orders. I want to be a peacemaker. Now, sometimes that's hard. Don't get me wrong. Being in the radical middle doesn't mean you don't have conviction. Doesn't mean you don't draw really hard lines. Doesn't mean that at all. And who knows me knows that I do that. And if you've heard me preach over the last 20 years, you know that that's not the case with me. I take the Bible's word true to how things should operate sexually. I am way outside the norm in terms of my sexual actions and my sexual belief. Always have been. Way, way outside. I am not normal as far as America is concerned at all. And I'm great with that. Because what America's doing sexually, guess what? It doesn't work. But anyway, I'm fine with feeling rooted in the truth of God and not having popular beliefs that other people have. And this means that I really relish friendships where people are different than me. I have a friend who is a gay activist and a transgender activist, and I said to him recently, I said, you know, wherever we can find common ground, I want to work together with you. And wherever we can't, I want to be as inoffensive as possible. I believe that. We should all want to have common ground with people who are different than us, and where we cannot come together in the middle, because that's going to happen, to say, I want to be as inoffensive as possible. We don't have to offend one another with our tone, with our smile, with our love, with our hug. That doesn't have to be the way it is. Should some believers be in politics? Absolutely. Absolutely. God calls some believers to be in politics. Should some of us say something about an issue on social media? Fine. That's okay. Should we be outraged by things that we see in our country? Absolutely. All of us are from time to time. But should these things monopolize our mindset? Should these things cause us to not love our neighbor as ourselves? Should these things keep us from following in the ways of Jesus? No, absolutely not. We have a different way to go. It's a more fulfilling way. And that's the fifth reason I want to talk about why it's great to be in the radical middle. You get more peace. You get more peace. I never go to bed at night worrying that America's going to hell in a handbasket. Never have with President Trump. Never do with President Obama. Never lost a lick of sleep over any of it. I never find out of Supreme Court nominee and go, yeah, that's the future of America. Or never find a Supreme Court nominee and go, oh my gosh, God's not going to have his way with my life now. Oh no. I never do. The Bible says in the book of Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit, things like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. These are things. This is the fruit of being in the radical middle. It's the fruit of having the Spirit of God work. Guess what? If you're on the right, you don't have the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of being on the right is not love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, good. The fruit of being on the left is not love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. It's not. Fruit is very clear, very clear. I don't see those attributes, the levity, the joy, the sense of wonder, the sense of transcendence. There's things that come in the radical middle. I'm beautiful. I get to literally feel God. I literally feel God. You can feel God versus feel passion over an incident. I actually sense when I'm talking to God, there's someone there. And I have yeses to a heck of a lot of my prayers. I have transcendent experiences. I had a crazy one. I'm probably going to have to preach on it a whole week. A literal demonic-like thing. Crazy. Amazing, good. Good ending. Maybe I'll talk about it someday. Just happened recently. It's just crazy stuff of a different realm. It's beautiful and awe-inspiring and joy-filled. It just makes me excited for my life. I hope you feel that way. I want you that way. And if you do, it's going to be because you're in the radical middle. It's going to be because you're going the way of Jesus. It's going to be because the kingdom of God is going to mean more to you than the United States of America and your preferred voting record. Come where the rest of us are. It's beautiful. It's worth it. Repent. Get down on your face. Make this a holy ground where you become one that walks away from the masses that's fighting a losing war for their heart, and come to a place where we stand in a deep stream of history, and it's cool and refreshing. God, I thank you for a place to have a discussion like this and a group of people who are up for hearing a discussion like this. I'm thankful for the diversity in every room at Crossroads. I'm thankful for the different thoughts, the different colors, the different economics, the different voting records, all of that. And I'm thankful that we're here and we're one. Please keep making us so. And I pray these things according to the character and identity of Jesus. Amen.